This audio is provided without charge by Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, which reserves all rights. Please visit givewts.com to learn how you can support Westminster or contact communications at wts.edu for more information.
It's actually time to begin, so let's open in a word of prayer if we could, and then we'll look at the syllabus. Lord, we thank you that you are unchangeable. We confess that we are changeable people. And Lord, we do ask that when we're discouraged in our ministry, in our seminary studies, whatever it may be, in our relationship with you or to the world, we're full of doubts of ourselves, we ask that you would fasten us upon the rock of Jesus Christ so our hands will not hang down and we'll have hope, not only for ourselves but others. And we thank you that Christ's death and resurrection is the ground of our salvation. Make it as well the object of our desire, the motive of our ministry, indeed the glory brought to you through that death and resurrection. We do ask, Lord, that you would keep us from high thoughts of ourselves or of our work. There are many people who do not have the privilege that we have of studying and learning your word more deeply. We pray that as we do that, we will become more humble and not proud. We do ask, Lord, that you would remind us that in us, apart from Christ, no good dwells, and even our best works are but sin apart from him. So humble us and root and tear out the poisonous weed of self-righteousness when we think we're better. Show us our utter sinfulness. So keep us sensible of these things and seek us deeper into repentance before you. We ask, Lord, that we as poor, feeble creatures would be able to grow in our trust in you by your sovereign grace, and grant us to rest on your power, your faithfulness, and to know that there are two things worth living for: to do good to others, to love others, and above all, to love you, to honor, glorify you, to further your cause in the world. Give us grace to succeed in these two goals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd just like you to look over the syllabus with me now. Well, let's look at the first paragraph. I want to make clear what the course is about. First of all, I want to say that always bring an English Bible in here. The primary goals of the course, let's look at the first paragraph, are the following. There are four of them: that you become a bit acquainted with the important literature in the field, especially with different approaches to doing New Testament theology. Now, one wonders, what is the difference between New Testament theology and systematic theology? Well, there are some overlaps, but there are some differences. And really what we're talking about in this class is biblical theology, New Testament biblical theology. And we're going to show how that differs from systematic theology and then again as well from exegesis. But we're going to look at some literature in that regard throughout the course. Secondly, to show how exegetical method, that is interpreting the Bible, relates to doing biblical theology. Thirdly, the theological relationship of the old to the new. Now, some students ask me, how does this relate to your old and the new class that I teach? Well, that class will take 3 hours sometimes just to take one quotation, one verse from the Old Testament. We'll take 3 hours for that. In this class, we're considering more not so much the precise exegetical relationship of the old to the new, but the theological relationship of the old to the new. So the difference may be that we'll look at 15 verses in a 3-hour period, 15 contexts perhaps even. And my method in the course really is a shotgun approach. I'll be shooting a lot of buckshot out, i.e. verses, and if about 70% of them hit you, then I'm pleased. So we're going to be looking at the theological relationship, not so much studying one verse for 3 hours and looking at the method of how New Testament authors exegete the old. That's my old and the new course. Here we're just looking at what are the themes from the old and the new that are important. And then fourthly, the integral relationship of New Testament theology to the ideas of the kingdom, what we call inaugurated eschatology, and the new creation. And as we go, we'll talk more about what I mean by that, and we'll begin that this very period. So I'm not going to say a lot about that last point. We'll talk a lot more about that. As you'll see, various major texts will form the basis for this semester's work. Let's look at requirements for credit. the reading. Students are responsible for the following reading. The following books will be required to be read. Anthony Hokema's The Bible in the Future, H.K. La Rondelle, The Israel of God and Prophecy, and those last two books, Hokema and La Rondelle, you're going to really like. These are books that are exegetical, but they're books that you will find are written at a level that you can give them to people in the church who don't have a seminary education, much less Greek and Hebrew, and really give people a real good understanding of the essence of biblical theology. These are very important works, and I think that you will enjoy them. Another work, G.E. Ladd, The Presence of the Future. And I have not all of that, but just some pages there listed. Also, if you'll note at the bottom of the syllabus, The End of the Ages is coming. My book, The Right Doctrine from the Wrong Texts, Essays on the Use of the Old and the New. If you've never taken a course on Old and the New, or if you really want to be acquainted with the crucial issues and debates, even especially within evangelicalism, about how the Old is used in the New, then that would be a good book to look at. Indeed, there are even essays there by people who are outside the pale of evangelicalism, and some having good views, others having views that I disagree with. Also, Dumbrell's work, The End of the Beginning, is a very, very important work. Now, that's a reading requirement. It's very important because this course needs to be supplemented by reading. It's really crucial. So let's look at the lectures. The bulk of the class meetings will be given over to lectures by the professor on the material scheduled for the class session. Although students will not be required to translate Greek at either the 100 or 200 level, it's recommended that they familiarize themselves with the English version of the scripture text, and if you know Greek, to familiarize yourself with it. You'll notice as we go through the syllabus schedule that actually there are asterisks also by scripture references that serve as the basis for often each lecture, and those will be the ones I'll sometimes be looking at in Greek. If you don't know Greek, never fear, I will be explaining what the Greek means. The following is, as we look at it, the consecutive order of topics. First thing we're going to do is we're going to look at eschatology and how eschatology can begin to serve as a lens for understanding the New Testament. And one of the first things we're going to do is go back to the Old Testament and look at eschatological language. Continue. What we'll begin to do is begin to look at the Gospels. You'll notice part two of the course at the top of the page, Theology of the Gospels and its relation to Pauline theology. That will actually begin in week number three, and we'll begin to look at the kingdom in the teaching of Jesus, and we'll begin to look also at the person of Christ in these lectures as it relates to the kingdom and to eschatology. We continue with the Gospels in third part of the course, Reflections on Issues of Biblical Theology. At that time, we'll try to give a thumbnail sketch of how to do the paper. As I say, I probably will have some outside class sessions to go over that before that point, if some of you wanted to start a little bit earlier. Week number five, we begin to get into Paul. Actually, Acts and the theology of Paul, and we'll begin to look at how does the resurrection of Christ relate to eschatology and soteriology. I have to say, I went through seminary, and really some significant part of doctoral study, and the resurrection of Christ was something to me that I never related to eschatology. But I think it is related to eschatology, and I think it makes a crucial difference in how you look at the whole New Testament. And so we're going to see what Paul's experience with the resurrection of Christ was and how that relates to his letters. What was his experience in Acts and how does that relate to his letters? How does it help us to understand his theology in his letters? I think the key to understanding Paul in his letters is his confrontation, well, Christ's confrontation with him on the Damascus Road. Very interesting. Here I've learned a lot from a guy by the name of Se-Yoon Kim. Some of you from Korea may know of him. Some of you have, in fact, even studied under him. Very fine Pauline scholar. We'll start looking at particular doctrines in Paul. We'll look at his Christology, his anthropology, the notion of Christ as Son of God, image of God, last Adam, glorified one. Lecture 16, we'll look at the image of God in the Old Testament and then how that relates to Paul's understanding of the image of God. Again, all the time we'll be looking at Old and the New as a backdrop for important doctrines and how eschatology helps us understand it. Lecture 18, we'll look at reconciliation and new creation. Very intriguing. those two ideas of reconciliation and new creation are integrally related. Very interesting as to why that is. And you know what? The key is in the Old Testament again. We'll find that. The key is in Genesis 1 to 3 and some other texts as well. Then in lecture 19, we'll look at how does the law relate to what I'm talking about here with resurrection and eschatology. I mean, there's a big problem with the law if you've done much thinking about the law at all. There are some evangelicals that think the whole law from the old carries over into the new. There are others who think nothing about the law carries over into the new. I was talking to a well-known Pauline scholar a few days ago, actually, and he believes that nothing in the Old Testament law relates to the New Testament. I said, well, what do you do with the Old Testament quotations of nine of the commandments at various points in the New Testament? And he said, well, that's the law of Christ. It's not from the Old Testament. I said, but they're quotations from the Old Testament. And when we talk about that, I'll elaborate a little bit further on why he disagrees and why I disagree with him and what difference it makes, after all. We continue that theme of eschatology, reconciliation, and the law, and then we'll look at sanctification in Lecture 21. How does your growth in holiness relate to this class and what I'm trying to talk about? In fact, it sounds absurd, doesn't it, that eschatology is the key to your spiritual life. Now, that's outrageous for me to say that, isn't it? Well, it's really not. The better you understand eschatology, you're going to find the better you're going to be able to live your spiritual life. You say, Beale's really gone now. I mean, he's in the ivory tower. He's reduced everything to academic theology, and now that for him is what is practical. I mean, what could be more esoteric and abstract than eschatology, and to say that that's the key to sanctification? Well, I hope that I can convince you that this is really the case. I think the genius of this class for me, at least this is why I'm writing a book on this, is because I think the better you understand theology, the better you'll understand how to live your life. Another way to say that is the better you'll understand God and yourself and your relationship to him and what your purpose is. We'll look at justification in Lecture 22. There's no doubt that all of these things, I went through seminary, mainly through doctoral work, never even thought about how these things were related to eschatology. Someone say, well, why did you ever begin to think that? Go back to where you were. Well, I think that justification, crucial doctrine. By the way, the Germans and a number of evangelicals think justification, that's the center of the New Testament. That's the key thing. No, it's not. It's not. Justification is not the key thing. It's important, and certainly it has something crucial to do with our salvation, but there are other doctrines that are very crucial to our salvation as well. Then in Lecture 23, all the way through Lecture 25, we're going to talk about ecclesiology, the church. And again, I'm going to say that eschatology is the key to the church, ecclesiology. And this really gets exciting, because what we're going to do is we're going to see that eschatology is the key for knowing what you and I should do. And guess what the key to all of it is? Really, ultimately, Genesis 1 to 3. But we'll talk about that and how Genesis 1 to 3 is referred to in the New Testament, how it relates to this notion of creation. And then as we go on to page 10, we'll be looking at the Spirit in Lecture 26 and 27. The main way to understand the Spirit is through this lens of eschatology. And again, the Old Testament tells us so much. There are a lot of prophecies about the Spirit that's to come in the end times in the Old Testament. And the more you understand about those Old Testament texts, the more you're going to understand the spiritual life. In fact, Galatians 5. I've just written an article trying to show that the fruits of the Spirit really are from the Old Testament, and they're part of a prophecy of the time when the new creation was to come, and there was going to be all this abundant fruitfulness in the new creation. And then there are these texts in the midst of those discussions say God's people will even bloom and bear fruit. There'll be trees, they'll bloom and bear fruit. They'll have the fruit of love and joy and peace already, way back in the Old Testament. And so we got to understand the Old Testament, you see, to understand Galatians 5. I've read many commentaries on Galatians. One person has about two sentences on this, among all of them. So at any rate, I think we're going to be looking at some keys that are going to unlock some things that I think will be very important for us. And then we'll look in Lecture 28 at the eschatological character of the Sabbath, of the sacraments, and of marriage. I contend outrageously that if you understand eschatology, you're going to enjoy your mate a lot more. Isn't that amazing? I mean, maybe I ought to just write a book there, you know. And I'm not sure that the title would sell, Eschatology and How to Enjoy Your Mate. I don't know. Maybe some people just buy it to see what I'm saying. There's some topics in this lecture outline that will be expanded and some that will be contracted. Nevertheless, wherever we are, and I'll try to let you know always where we are, you keep on the same reading schedule. That's the key thing. We might be a week behind. Who knows? We'll see. I reserve that right. And I'm actually trying to actually rewrite my lectures this semester to try to work toward this book that I am working on. Now, on page 12, you'll notice, after I mentioned some recommended readings, and by the way, before we go to page 12, just a few comments on some recommended readings. I have some there, but also there's some important ones that I want to add. There are a couple of books by Tom Wright, N.T. Wright. I'm recommending his book on Climax of the Covenant. Now, Wright has another work called The New Testament and the People of God. The second one is Jesus and the Victory of God. First one is The New Testament and the People of God. The second one is Jesus and the Victory of God. Now, these are published by Fortress Press. One, I think, 1996, another about 1997 or 8. These are very important works dealing with, really, how important the Old Testament is for New Testament theology. I'm glad to see it. They're long, small print. And if you want to kind of get an abbreviation of that, there's what St. Paul really said. Now, why don't we launch off now, look in the syllabus at our first topic. And our first topic is, we've done an overview of the course through the syllabus. Now we're looking at what I call already and not yet eschatology, or inaugurated eschatology, as the substratum from which New Testament theology arises, : a survey of eschatological language in the New Testament. And we will be looking at the texts there, especially the ones that are asterisked, and you'll see that's a pattern usually throughout the syllabus. So, I want to announce to you something, and I hope that I'm not going to get in trouble with the faculty or the dean or the president, because it sounds a little cultic. It's going to sound very cultic, but I spent 8 years working on the book of Revelation, and I have done a lot of work in eschatology and in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And even though you might read this, you know, on one of those tabloids walking out the grocery store, I'm going to make a statement that's going to sound outrageous. In fact, you will laugh maybe, or maybe you'll hold the laughter back out of not embarrassing me. However, I'm going to say it. Maybe my study has gotten to me too much. It may be. But this is, I think, a historical time for Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary because of the announcement that I am about to make. I know when the coming of Jesus Christ will be. I know it within a 3-year period. Okay, so I'm not being outrageous, but I know it within a 3-year period. Secondly, I know almost the exact date of the coming of the Antichrist. And thirdly, see, the laughter's now held back. And thirdly, I know when the temple's going to be rebuilt. Okay? Now, you say, oh, gosh, you know, Beale's really been doing time. But I know the, and I'm going to give you your money's worth, even this period. Okay? And I'm, by the way, you may think I'm joking. I'm not joking. All right? So maybe I'll be rebuked by students and faculty alike, casting a bad aura on Gordon Conwell. There's so many throughout history who've done this. What makes me think that I know? Well, I think I really do know, and you'll just have to decide what you think. Now, after this class period, I'll probably come back next week and be maybe 3 people, and we'll see what happens. But maybe I won't give it all, and you'll have to come back to see just how crazy I am.